Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this first Saturday of November, within the octave of All Saints, we sing the votive mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and contemplate a continuation of the Beatitudes, the Gospel for All Saints Day, as seen especially in the life of a saint whom we honor today, one of the great lights of the 16th century, who was very tenderly devoted to the Virgin Mary. St. Charles Borromeo is the great saint of the Catholic Counter-Reformation, that is called, the true Catholic Reformation of morals in the face of the Protestant attack. St. Charles Borromeo is a patron saint of Christian education. He it was who conceived the idea of regular catechism classes every Sunday, what we call the Sunday school, and he opened up many schools and high schools, colleges, and all of these he devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He is a wonderful example of the virtue of meekness, as we were contemplating during our rosary this morning. By means of the virtue of meekness and the beatitude of it, we repress or restrain our impatience, anger, or desire to revenge in the face even of an open affront. We persevere in a peace of heart to accept the assaults of others and to accept indeed all of the divisions of the decisions of God's providence, always with a peaceful heart. Our Lord and Our Lady are the best examples of meekness. Our Lord shows us in his life, he who is meek and humble of heart, that at times it is necessary to be very firm and very strict. For example, when our Lord reproached the Pharisees, or when our Lord drove the buyers and the sellers out of the temple. You see this in the life of St. Charles Borromeo. From his very youth, he was sort of one of those people with a very dry, later on it would be described as a flinty personality. Even as a boy, he was extremely pious, so his father set him aside to be a priest. But then, according to the custom of the day, because they were of the high nobility, he was tonsured as a lad, and then he was given what's called a benefice, that is to say, the honorary title of a certain abbey, and then he would have the administration of the funds of that monastery. And he warned his father, just as a lad, not to take any of that monastery's money for the family's use. But anything that wasn't necessary for the administration of the monastery, he must give to the poor. He was always very outspoken. And because of that, sometimes he gave an impression, as I say, of a certain coldness to others. He was one of those people who did a zillion things at the same time. He was highly organized. At the age of 22, he was a cardinal, the Secretary of State. His uncle was the Pope, and one of the rare exceptions to the rule against nepotism, even though he was the nepos, which means the nephew of the Pope, Pius IV, he was capable, because he was so organized and such a disciplined, hard worker, so intelligent and so holy, of doing all these jobs at the same time. He was also the administrator of the Archdiocese of Milan, and he was papal legate in Romagna and Bologna, and the protector of the Carmelite, of the Capuchin order, and several other important jobs at the age of 22 years. Finally, after he settled all of the affairs in Rome and helped his uncle to prepare for the resumption of the Council of Trent, he received permission to go to Milan, and there he became a very great reforming archbishop. Busy as he was, he took many hours a day for prayer. If we don't pray, we can't accomplish anything at all. And although this was not his public face, when he was in private, sometimes by just having one little talk, say with a priest who was leading a very bad life, he was able to bring him back again to repentance. And but at the same time, he stressed the rights of the church, against, especially orders or canons, chapters of priests who were leading immoral lives, or immoral nuns too. And because of that, he made many enemies for himself. He was unflinching when it came to these things, and his enemies at one point attempted to assassinate him during night prayers. But because of the vestments that he was wearing, especially his rachet, he was protected, and the bullet just sort of bounced off, which was doubtless somewhat miraculous. He besought very, very sincerely for the lives of the four priests who had plotted to assassinate him. And finally, the government allowed one of the four to have his life preserved. That's how he was. He always wanted the forgiveness of those who had offended him. They say of him, the only way to get a favor out of Charles Borromeo was to become his enemy. He lived in the day, as we have in the political machines today in our country, so too was in the church of his day. It was all an age of doing favors for each other and buying influence and all of the rest. And he knew nothing of any of that. He was absolutely right and straight in his dealings. And the only ones to whom he was especially sweet and kind were the very sick, the ignorant, the very humble, and sinners, especially sinners who had become his enemy in any sense. That's how Christ-like our saint was. But that brought him sometimes into conflict with great and holy men. It is said that St. Philip Neri once called St. Charles Borromeo a thief because they had a dispute about a property. But at the same time, St. Philip Neri also records that once he saw the face of St. Charles Borromeo glow like an angel. Very beautiful. And then the story that I told at the end of the rosary this morning merits our meditation. The successor to St. Charles's uncle was the Cardinal Ghislieri, who would become the great Pope St. Pius V. He was also a very flinty character and very outspoken, and he didn't like the way the Pope was promoting the members of his family. So at a conclave of the cardinals, Cardinal Ghislieri got up and denounced the Pope for the practice of nepotism that was especially directed against Charles Borromeo. Yet when and then the Pope was so angry that he sent him as far away from Rome as possible, and still to be in Italy, made him the bishop of a diocese way in the north of the country in the Alps. And when he when the Pope died, and the Cardinal Ghislieri was elected, Charles Borromeo went to see him at the conclave, and he asked him, please, to take his uncle's name as a way of showing the church and the cardinals that he bore no grudges or ill will. And he was so humble, Ghislieri was, that he took the name of Pius V, even though Pius IV had been his opponent and had actually persecuted him. You see how the saints arrange these matters among themselves. And here we are, poor sinners. Whatever could we possibly do? Well, we could pray, and we must, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary for some practical practice of meekness in our life. Let us indeed ask these favors of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that our hearts become a little bit more meek the next time we are insulted, attacked, or offended in any way, that we remember the example of the saints, and that we be humble in heart and say a little prayer to be able at least to maintain our calm and to repress our anger or desire for revenge. And that by so doing, may we resemble at least a little bit the heart of Jesus and Mary, and may we draw others a little bit closer into the kingdom. Pray for meekness of heart, today's beatitude, and in enjoying it, you shall possess the earth, and more than earth, the sky, heaven itself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.